This is number 8. Most of us long to have certainly conflict-free relationships in our working environment, but unless we're transported to some Orwellian future where all of our minds and emotions work in perfect unison, freedom from conflict will never happen. It would be a mistake to attempt to completely erase disagreement from our lives. People naturally disagree about what to do and how to do it and even where to do it. That interaction of ideas and opinions sparks new ideas and leads oftentimes to better solutions and plans of action. However, when differences of opinion are accompanied by too much emotional commitment to one point versus another, the resulting conflict can certainly be damaging. When we become emotionally locked into one idea and believe that it is the only one that can meet our needs and objectives, we enter into conflict with two opinions. We fight or we flight. These discussions will help us to identify the sources of conflict and understand how to encourage healthy disagreement without spiraling down into a negative conflict and confrontation. I believe these discussions will also allow us to consider some of the tools that might help us break out of a conflict routine once it has begun. Conflict, of course, arises from the clash of perceptions, goals, or values in an arena where people care very genuinely about the outcome. You see it your way, and the other person sees it his way, and many times tension ignites. Conflict can cause a complete breakdown of a relationship if one person thinks that his only options are to continue the conflict or give up a valued objective. Conflict can also lead to productive growth if it is properly managed and resolved. The process of recognizing and working through a conflict can only happen in an environment of open communication. Conflict left under the surface will fester, and it can become lethal. When it is recognized and it's brought out into the open, its resolution can bring people closer together as they grow in their understanding of each other. Communication is the key element affecting conflict, both the cause of conflict as well as the remedy for conflict. Open communication is the means by which disagreement can be prevented or managed or resolved. The lack of open communication can drive conflict underground and create a downward spiral of misunderstanding and hostility. Organizations depend on a group of people working together to achieve a common purpose. This results in a built-in breeding ground for conflict as people disagree on what the common purpose is or how to achieve it, as well as how to achieve their own individual goals within that particular organization. Competition for limited resources, both internal and external, will certainly feed the conflict. The ability to manage the conflicting goals and methods within a limited resource environment is absolutely critical. Unresolved or perhaps unmanaged conflict quickly escalate and halt organizational progress. People begin to worry more about conflict and who's going to win than they do the organizational's goals. By definition, conflict occurs when two or more people have a strong disagreement that is driven by a clash of goals, perceptions, and/or values. The three basic components of conflict would be, number one, two or more persons are involved. Number two, there is a perceived incompatibility between ideas, actions, beliefs, or goals. Number three, the opposing side see their way as the only way to achieve their goals or objectives. This discussion is to help us find a simple model that can give us guidance to resolve a conflict, but also help us to understand some of the causes of conflict within our organizations. A great deal of conflict, we believe, can be avoided by wise handling of change in these conflict areas. We want to share some of the common sources of conflict within organizations. One area of conflict could be identified as responsibility levels. If levels of responsibility are fuzzy, there will be numerous occasions for conflict to arise over decisions made or even actions taken that seem to dispute some area of territory. For instance, if the sales department designs and produces a product description brochure, the marketing department may take offense because brochures, they feel, are their responsibility. Clear job descriptions and organizational charts can help prevent these disputes, but in a rapidly changing organization, responsibility issues will be a frequent source of conflict. A second source of conflict is identified as limited resources. Almost all organizations lack the resources to achieve all of the objectives of each person within that particular organization. Manufacturing may want to replace some obsolete equipment. Well, finance wants a new computer for the accounting system, and then marketing is very interested in increased revenue for advertising. Typical organizational division along functional lines makes it easy to lose sight of the overall organizational goals as each one of the departments enters into struggle to maximize and to emphasize its own responsibility and results. So, limited resources can certainly be a source of organizational conflict. There could be a conflict of interest. Since all individual goals cannot be achieved, goals and objectives therefore have to be ranked, and at times some may even have to be eliminated. Individuals may fight for their personal goals or even lose sight of the organizational goals. The salesperson whose compensation is based on sales may bend credit requirements while the collections department would forego sales in order to reduce bad debt. Each individual in an organization needs to know how his own goals and efforts fit within the total organizational goals and organizational effort. And then another source of conflict, communication barriers. Communication barriers exist at the interpersonal as well as the organizational level. They would include such things as differing perceptions or language, ineffective listening, style differences, power and status barriers, for example. Now, overcoming communication barriers requires extensive opportunity for interaction and an organizational commitment to training. The computer system operator who never has a chance to talk to one of the salespeople will probably never understand the goals, needs, and frustrations of the sales department. Only by training people at every level of the organization, effective communication techniques, can the organization hope to break down communication barriers. Another cause of conflict within organization can be interdependency. Increasingly, our ability to accomplish our goals and objectives depends on the cooperation and assistance of others. This interdependency increases the opportunity for conflict. Accounting needs information from the sales department in order to complete financial reports. Sales needs product information from manufacturing in order to make sales. Manufacturing needs the right parts from purchasing. Marketing needs information from customer services for a new advertising campaign. Organizations are an interrelated web of departments, teams, and individuals. No one in an organization can do his job without the input of someone else. When that someone else is late, or has a different view of priorities, or even misunderstands directions, or is playing politics, as sometimes happens, conflicts are certain to be created. And then another cause of conflict within an organization could be identified as increased interaction. The more people interact, the more potential there is for conflict. The trend toward increasing levels of participation and teamwork indicates a higher level of conflict and certainly a greater need for conflict resolution skills. While interaction helps eliminate conflict as we begin to have a better understanding of another person's needs and priorities, it also increases conflict as we discover new areas of differences. In the old-style organization, the assembly person might be isolated with relatively little opportunity for conflict with other departments. Now, if he is made part of a special project team, he'll start to understand certain points of view, but also find new areas of conflict. Increased interaction creates the need for special training in communication as well as conflict resolution. And then another cause for conflict could be identified as competition. When there is competition for rewards, such as promotions, recognition, contest prizes, and so forth, conflict is a natural outcome. If only one person can become the new supervisor of the department, more than one person wants the position, then the stage is set for conflict. If the organization rewards the person who breaks all barriers to achieve a particular reward, interpersonal conflict increases. It's almost impossible to emphasize individual goals and rewards without diminishing the organizational's goals. Achieving the organization's goals requires people to work together. Setting up competitions to stimulate individual achievement can be self-defeating for the organization. For example, an organization sets challenging assembly quotas and rewards the fastest worker with a special bonus, then there's no incentive for anyone to stop and look at quality or for a way to improve the process. If salespeople are rewarded only on sales volume, how interested will they be in the profitability of those sales? There's no way to avoid conflict in today's rapidly changing environment, but please understand, conflict can be managed. People can be taught communication techniques and conflict resolution techniques that will help them avoid conflict and work through conflict once it is recognized. Organizational conflict can occur at several levels. It can be between individuals, it can be between groups, and it can also be between organizations themselves. We will focus here on interpersonal conflict, but please understand that the principles and ideas that we will discuss here are also valid for intergroup as well as interorganizational conflict times. Conflict typically proceeds through four stages, even if each step is not recognized as such. The phases identified by various theories could be labeled as follows. Phase 1 is the latent phase, L-A-T-E-N-T. This is when two or more parties must cooperate with one another in order to achieve a desired objective. Now, there is potential for conflict, but no conflict yet. Latent conflict is often created whenever change occurs. Examples are a budget cutback, a change in organizational direction, a change in a personal goal or value, a new crisis project that's added to an already overloaded workforce, or an expected occurrence such as a salary increase that does not happen. Phase 1, the latent stage. Phase 2, the perceived stage. This is the point at which members are becoming aware of a problem, even if they are not sure where it comes from. Incompatibility is perceived, and tensions begin. Phase 3, felt. The parties begin to focus on the differences of opinions and the differences in interest. They're sharpening their own perceived understanding of the conflict. Internal tensions and frustrations begin to crystallize around specifically defined issues. People began to build emotional commitment to these particular positions. And then phase 4 is manifestation. The outward display of conflict occurs when the opposing parties plan and follow through with acts to frustrate one another. Conflict is very obvious at this point. As conflict proceeds through the stages, resolution becomes more difficult. People become more locked in their positions and more convinced that conflict must be a win-or-lose situation. The ideal is to recognize conflict early and work for a solution that is a win for each of the parties involved. Each strategy for managing conflict has its advantages and its disadvantages. One strategy might work better for a particular situation than another. Each option varies in regard to concern for self, the degree to which a person tries to protect his own interest, versus concern for others, the degree to which a person wants to satisfy the view of others. In each case, Consider for yourself these conflicting management options and see if you would feel comfortable using them or even guiding others to use them. Some of these we have mentioned earlier, but certainly they're worthwhile mentioning again. One strategy of managing conflict is identified as avoidance. Avoidance is an insistence, simple response to conflict. By not confronting the problem, neither party is labeled a winner or a loser. However, avoidance rarely works because it does nothing to make the conflict go away. The ostrich approach doesn't resolve the problem, and it may actually allow the conflict to escalate to the next stage. Avoidance often takes the form of a physical flight. I've got to get away from here. I've got to go somewhere else. I can't stay in this job, or I need a transfer. Avoidance can take the form of falling asleep. Avoidance can take the form of mentally withdrawing from the situation. You can recognize avoidance when someone changes the subject or they try to redefine the conflict so that it no longer seems to exist. Or perhaps they abruptly leave the scene of the conflict, or they seem just to tune out what's going on around them. If the problem is inconsequential, avoidance can be an approach option, as with a manager who avoids getting involved with a minor employee dispute. And then a second strategy is accommodation. Accommodation happens when someone gives in without actually working through the conflict. A supervisor wants an employee to do something a new way. The employee says, "Oh, all right, but I really think it's better my way." The employee has accommodated the supervisor, but there's no real solution. Although accommodation includes cooperative effort, it still requires sacrifice, turning conflict into a win-lose situation. Because assertiveness is not involved, there's a tendency for the losing party to repress its point of view. At least one of the parties involved plays down its differences while emphasizing common features. This exploitation of cooperative elements is beneficial when the accommodating party feels little personal involvement with the issue or has little to lose by giving in to the other. Accommodation may also ensure positive future relations. In the case of the supervisor and the employee, the supervisor may really appreciate the employee's willingness to try a new way, and if it works, the employee may feel good about the supervisor's abilities and will be willing to accept more of his guidance in the future. Accommodation provides a quick solution, which is, however, often temporary because the basic issues are left unresolved. Frequently, the relative power of the parties influence the outcome more than the legitimacy of complaints or even the wisdom of each opinion. Accommodation responds to emotions, but does not manage them. In our example, the supervisor didn't convince the employee of the superiority of the new method. He didn't listen to the employee's reasons for wanting to stay with the old method. The conflict might stay at the latent stage, but additional pressure could cause it to escalate. Another strategy for managing conflict is domination. The win-lose strategy, known as domination, involves a struggle for power and domination over another party. The most powerful party, in some cases the manager, imposes the solution. Now, domination does have its benefits. It resolves conflicts quickly and certainly effective when the parties recognize and accept the power of this relationship. Unfortunately, this strategy can create resentment among individual parties if overused, because their goals may be reached at someone else's expense. Consistent losers might feel that their needs will never be met and begin to withdraw from the conflict altogether. Domination fails to treat the root of the conflict, making it only a temporary solution. Then there's negotiation. Negotiation is a compromising strategy that involves moderate levels of cooperation and assertiveness. Both sides state their position and try to reach an acceptable compromise. In salary negotiations, every dollar the employee wins, the company loses. Many negotiations attempt to minimize losses while maximizing gains or creating a situation where everyone feels that they have at least partially won and perhaps partially lost. This can lead to a situation where no one is completely satisfied, In sensitive negotiations, for example, it's easy for the parties to tie the scale into a more assertive mode and wind up in a standoff. And then another approach or strategy for managing conflict is known as collaboration. Collaboration requires a high level of cooperation and assertiveness. Rather than just negotiating salary, the employee and the supervisor might discuss at length the employee's goals and objectives and how they fit into the organizational's goals and needs. The process might reveal that the employee needs flex time more than additional salary, or that the employee's long-term goal includes an advanced degree, which would require reduction in work hours. Collaboration takes time. Collaboration takes effort. But collaboration addresses the underlying issues of the situation or conflict. This makes collaboration a generally long-lasting and productive conflict resolution strategy. Through face-to-face assertiveness and confrontation, involved parties work through the conflict cooperatively. Rather than depending on negotiation or compromise, collaboration relies on creative problem-solving to identify solutions which will meet the needs of all the parties. Through open communication and identification of goals and objectives of each of the parties, new avenues of exploration can be identified and often totally unexpected solutions appear. Obviously, if it's important to you to resolve a conflict positively in a way that enhances the relationships involved, collaboration is far more effective than avoidance or the other strategies of conflict resolution. There are four basic components of collaboration: understanding and respecting the goals and objectives of each of the parties, assertiveness, creative problem solving, and confrontation. First, there is understanding and respecting. Collaboration assumes an equality in the standing of the parties, even if there are differences in power or status within the organization. For the purpose of this conflict resolution exercise, the goals and objectives of each person are presented equally. After presenting the goals and objectives, there may be a need to rank and evaluate them logically, but again, it is done with the participation of all the parties. Each member of the group tries to stay focused on the organization's goals rather than on individual objectives. So, within collaboration, there is understanding and respect. Within collaboration, there is assertiveness. For a collaboration to succeed, each person must feel safe in expressing his ideas and opinions. Each position must be presented as powerfully as possible. People often confuse assertiveness with aggression. Aggression is assertiveness without regard for the needs of the other person. Assertiveness says, "Here's my position, what's yours?" Aggression says, "Here's my position, take it or leave it." And then there's creating a problem-solving atmosphere. Good, creative problem-solving skills can help define a solution that results in a win for each person. It's important to focus on the problem rather than on specific solutions. Spend time identifying as many potential solutions as possible before proceeding with an evaluation. Avoid dwelling on the history of the problem, which often involves placing blame. And then there's also confrontation. This is a specific communication strategy, a way to change behavior through constructive feedback. During an emotionally charged conflict resolution session, it's often necessary to use confrontation to break through a communication barrier. For example, two co-workers have competing priorities which have created conflict between them. Worker number two consistently is late. He's late in delivering information that's necessary to worker number one. Worker number one may decide to confront number two by telling him what impact his behavior is having on the organization. Confrontation is a useful strategy, but it has to be done skillfully or it can escalate into conflict. We understand that you must create, as it were, a model, what we would call the confrontation continuum, for handling different levels of conflict through this whole concept of confrontation and collaboration.